Thank you so much for joining us on the River City Church podcast. If you're blessed by this message today, we would love to hear from you. Check out our website at rivercitychurch.cc and let us know what God is doing in your life. If you would like to support this ministry financially, click the giving link on our website and choose the best option for you. Thank you again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message.
Who's going to help me preach while I'm at it? Anybody? All right, let's get started today. I tell you what, I want to thank you guys for praying for me and my family last week. My dad had a little episode, a little sickness, and you guys have been believing God, sending me messages and praying with me, and I just thank you for that. He's doing really, really well. Brian is in Texas this morning helping him. I was there last week helping him. He got pretty lucky that he had two preachers as kids, doesn't he? So he's got a little bit of help, and we are making sure that he's taking care of and well. But if you just continue with me to believe for the best for my dad, that would help me. And I just want to thank you guys for doing that. I got so many sweet notes this week and just encouragements, and I want to say thank you. We are in a great, great place. We are in church. How many of you know that when you're in the house of God and you get planted, the Bible promises you that you will flourish in the courts of your God and you'll bear fruit even until your old age? So you're in the right place with the right people today, doing the right thing. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and tell them, I'm glad you made it this morning. Encourage somebody. You know, I heard a story of a man who wanted to come to America. This was years and years ago, really generations and generations ago. And his greatest dream was to come to America, the land that he saw as the land that flowed with milk and honey, the promised land. And he was just convinced that if he could get to America, his life would change, that all of the opportunity that he was looking for would open up for him, and that he would find himself in a place that he could succeed, that he could push forward. It was a promised land for him. Have you ever felt like that? Like, if I can get to a certain place, I can see that the land will be wide open for me there. And he was experiencing this great desire. So he began to work and to save and work and to save and work and save and work and save and work and save for so long. This man gave everything he had to the one purpose of getting to America. Finally, after years and years and years of this being the desire of his heart, he had enough money to buy a ticket to get on a boat that was going to America. He purchased that ticket, and he knew he only had what it took to buy the ticket. He had no extra. He didn't know what he would do when he got to America, but he knew that he could get on that boat, and in a few weeks, he would be on an American shore. So he purchased his ticket, so proud of the work and the saving that he had done, so proud of the discipline that he had exerted to get to this point. He grabbed his ticket. He told everyone that he knew goodbye. He packed some cheese and some crackers in his bag, and he decided that he might not be able to buy anything else on the boat, but he would have that cheese and crackers, and he would eat cheese crackers, and he would drink water until he got where he was going. He purchased the ticket. He had it in his hand. He loaded up on that boat. He wasn't on the VIP list. He wasn't first class, and he wasn't even the middle class section of the boat. In fact, he was in a room with a lot of people under the boat, and he was just glad to be on the boat. He got out his cheese and crackers that night. He began to eat just a little bit. He was portioning it out as he rationed it for the entire trip because he knew it would take days and days and days to get there, and he didn't want to run out of food. But every night, including that first night, he would smell the food from the dining hall. He thought, man, that food smells good. I would do anything for that roast beef that I smell them cooking up there. Man, oh man, do those potatoes look good. In fact, after a few days, he began to just take a little journey by the dining hall while everyone was eating breakfast, lunch, and dinner. He ate cheese and crackers, and let me tell you something, cheese is good, but after a few days, you might want something else. He was coming by that dining hall and just looking in, maybe, just maybe, he could just see it and it would make him feel better. Have you ever fasted long enough that just smelling someone else's food makes you feel good? I see you guys during the fast in January. You get your cracker and your juice for communion and you say, it's a cheat day. I love it. So, you know, when you eat the same thing day after day and you're smelling these wonderful aromas, he would have friends come back from the dining hall after dinner. They'd say, you'd never even imagine how good that chocolate cake was tonight. Man, he would love to have some chocolate cake. He was missing his coffee in the morning. He was just missing some stuff, but he chose to be grateful. He wasn't going to complain. He was so grateful that he just had that ticket and that he was headed to America. The very last day they were getting ready to unload, he was on the shore. His dream was in sight. He was ready to go. And he told his friend, I am so happy to get off this boat. I am tired of cheese and crackers, but I'm grateful to be in America. He said, can I ask you why every morning, every afternoon, and every night you've eaten cheese and crackers while the rest of us go to the dining hall and eat all of this wonderful food that's prepared for us? He said, I only had enough money for my ticket. I didn't have enough money for that food. And his friend said, are you kidding me? Do you know that everything in that dining hall was included in the price of your ticket? No, he didn't know that. His head dropped. He was a little put off, but he was just excited to get off and get to America. I want to tell you this morning that there are some of you Christians who you didn't have enough money to buy your ticket and you couldn't have saved long enough, but Jesus purchased it for you. And you're on your way to a great and mighty place that is heaven. It is the promised land. Some of you are so grateful that he forgave your sins and you're just trying to keep your eye on the prize, which is heaven. And you have no idea that included in the price of your ticket that Jesus bought for you is everything in his dining hall right here on this earth. Some of you are living on cheese and crackers when God created you for chocolate cake. Some of you are just staying down there trying to be humble when God has a roast beef sandwich ready for you. And all you have to do is ask. I want to encourage you today that if you need a miracle, God has one in store for you. Today we're going to talk about believing him, tapping into all that God has for you. Some of you have been told your whole life that all you deserve is cheese and crackers. And I want to break that lie and tell you today, from my heart to yours, from the heart of God straight to you, he has created you to live in the abundance of this life and to not apologize for all that your heavenly Father has paid for you in your life today. Some of you are in here today, you've been believing God for something and you don't even feel good about it. You feel like, oh, maybe I shouldn't believe for something that big. I want to encourage you today to go for it. Believe God for the things that he's called you to believe him for. In fact, I dare you to believe him until it happens and get a testimony that will encourage your neighbor to believe God for something in their life too. You see, this life isn't just about us. It's not just about the miracle that happens in our life. In fact, the more you believe God and the more wins you have with him, something happens on the inside of you and it just makes you want to share it with the world. Just the other day, I was on a bleacher with a mom that I sit beside all week, every week at a practice that both of our kids have. I hadn't paid any attention. We'd said hello. We had exchanged niceties, but we'd never gotten down to anything important. Just the other day, she began to share with me a battle with cancer that she's had for the last 9 years. She's believing God to save her from that and to heal her body so that she can raise those kids. And do you know, because I know that God's a healer and I've seen him heal me and those around me, I joined hands with her right there on those bleachers and we prayed together. I felt healing virtue leave my hands and into her body. We stood in faith together. When we got done, she said, my faith never wavers, but my attention sometimes does. Thank you today for bringing my attention back to what God wants it to be on, that he is big enough for me and for my kids. I'm telling you, God has a miracle for you. He wants to give you a testimony because you help others when you tell it. I want to tell you a story today, or read to you a story out of Mark 5. Will you turn with me today to the story of Jairus and his sick daughter? Mark chapter 5 and verse 21, when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue named Jairus came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and he begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him, and a large crowd followed him, and they pressed in on him. Let's skip down to verse 35. While he was speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? This child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at Jesus. Then he put them all outside, and he took the child's father and mother and those who were with him, and he went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. Jairus was a father. He was a tabernacle leader. He was a leader in his community, and I'm sure he was a sharp guy, but let's get down to the brass tacks here. We all know that Jairus only went because his wife told him to go. Mamas have something about them that they want their kids to have what they need, and this little girl was sick, and so Jairus had heard about Jesus. See, he was informed about who Jesus was. Jesus is a rabbi, and in their day and time, he was the equivalent of a rock star because they could not binge watch Netflix at night. They would actually find someone who was teaching, and they would go out and they would fellowship with the people around them, and they would watch the teacher teach, and they would hang out. It was a social event, and everyone in the communities around knew that Jesus had been experiencing healing, that he had been delivering healing to people, and they had risen up. So when their girl got sick, I believe that these two parents came together and said, "Hey, we don't have a choice. She's about to die. We have to go find the man named Jesus." Jairus went, and it says that he came humbly begging Jesus, "Just come and lay your hands on my daughter, and I believe that she will be well." He came in faith, believing that he would receive. The problem was that Jesus doesn't get in a hurry. Have you ever noticed that Jesus just does not get in a hurry? He is not scared of your sickness or your problem. He is not startled by what you're startled by. He is not working on your timetable. I don't know why he doesn't take my suggestions about when he should move, but he does it whenever he wants to do it because he is God and he has enough. Jesus has enough of every single thing that we need in this life. Do you know Jesus is a savior? He's looking for a believer. Jesus has been healing bodies since he walked this earth, and he is looking for a believer. His healing virtue has never wavered. He is not incapable some days, incapable others. He is simply looking for a believer, and I hope that when Jesus is looking for a believer, that he'll find one in me. You see, we can build our faith. We can grow our faith. Where we are deficient, God has given us his word, and the Bible says that faith comes by hearing that word, and that when we take the word of God and we put it inside of us, even when we don't need it, it'll be there when we do need it. You see, God's word is a faith builder. It is the thing that God has given us to feed our faith. If I want my children to grow, I feed their little faces. If I want them to grow healthy, I will feed them something that is nourishing, something that has vitamins and minerals and things that will feed their body. If they had it their way, we would drink Coke and eat Twix all day long. But I have to make sure that something gets in their little body that will feed them and make them grow. And as believers, a lot of times we want to feed on the doubt and the fear. Have you ever noticed that when you need the most faith, that's when fear tries to come? It tries to consume you. When you're standing in the hospital and you don't know what's going to happen and you don't know what to do and you need the most faith to rise, that's when fear comes like a mighty wind and tries to take over your life. But God has a plan, and it is called His Word. And when we feed ourselves with that Word, faith begins to grow. See, you're already on the winning track today because you walked in the doors of the church. And when the Word comes to you, faith comes to you. So get ready, because your faith's being fed right now. God's going to change your life today. Jairus asked him. Jesus didn't get in a hurry. He saunters through the crowd. They're pressing in on him. And that woman with the issue of blood comes up. 12 years she's needed a miracle. Everyone wants to preach on that story, the big miracle. And Jairus is sitting here thinking, woman, could you hurry up? My daughter is dying. Have you ever noticed that when it's your kid, you just don't care about everybody else's thing? How many of you have ever acted just crazy about one of your kids? I mean, literally, you're that mom. I mean, that mom in the midst of something. I had this experience the other day. I'm telling you, every mom and every dad have probably had this situation happen. I was a little bit embarrassed afterwards, but not much. I had a child that needed to finish a test before the end of the semester for their AR, accelerated reading. We love to read at the Gibson House. We read. But one of my children just doesn't really feel comfortable taking their test because they never think that they've read it enough. They like to read it more and more times, which is awesome. But at some point, you got to take the test. There's a whole nother sermon right there in that statement. But I encourage. So all semester, you know, I'm not ready yet. So we're in the last week, and the teacher sends home a note, and she says, this is how many tests have to be taken every single day before the end of semester. Well, I'm in Gatlinburg, Tennessee at a preacher's conference, and there's all these preachers there, and they want me and Brian to stay there. But I don't know about you, when my kid needs something, it's time to go home. So I get this email, and it says that we have to take these tests, and I say to Brian, we need to leave. And he says, honey, we're scheduled to be here for a whole nother day. I said, that's beautiful. Love that. Can't do it. I'm going home. You can do whatever you would like to do, but I'm going home because my kid needs to take these tests so that he can go to the AR party. Now, I know the AR party means nothing to you, but it means a lot to them. So I said, we're going home. He said, I'm coming. He said, I'll see y'all later. We're going home. So he jumps in the car. We drive the 6 hours back here. I'm at that school all day, every day. I mean, I'm running the school by the end. I think I was the principal by the end of the week. And I'm just in there. We're reading. We're testing. We're reading. We're testing. We're going to win. We're going to party. We're going to win the party. And the last day comes, and we've been doing this all week. And I said, all right, are you ready? You got this. You've got what it takes. You're going there in there today, and you're taking the two tests. I'm taking the two tests. You're taking the two tests. I'm taking the two tests. You've got what it takes. You've read it over and over. You've got what it takes. I've got what it takes. Go, go, go. I'm cheering them on as they go into the school. I go to pick them up in the afternoon. I am ready to go in, maybe do one more at the library afterward. I said, how many? I didn't do anything. I said, what do you mean you didn't do? I wasn't ready. You were ready. You had what it takes. I didn't have what it takes. You did have what it takes. So I look up at the teacher and I say, ma'am, I'm sorry. Apparently we had a miscommunication. My child still needs to take their test. And she said, I'm sorry, Mrs. Gibson, but the library is closed. I said, I don't think you understand. I went to Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and I came home 6 hours early, or a day early. I drove 6 hours to make sure that this kid gets to go to the AR party. We're going to the AR party. So I'm just asking, what computer can I use if the library is closed? Mrs. Gibson, I don't think you understand. There's no way. So all you teachers, forgive me. I'm being that mom, okay? I said, I don't think you get it. See, my kid,
I'm going to explain it to you one more time. I drove home this many hours, and we've been working on this all week, and we have to go to the AR party. Do you understand that? This has to happen. He needs this. So I'm just asking. No, no, Miss Gibson, I don't think you understand. I said, you are not my people. So I went and found another teacher. I am now officially that mother. And I said, I need some help here because we are achieving a goal that we've been working on all week. Mrs. Gibson, I'm sorry. I don't think you understand. I said, you, again, not my people. So I went to the third teacher, and I began to ask it. And I could tell she wanted to help me. There was something on the inside of her that identified with inside of me. I think she was saved. So I thought, you might have Jesus on the inside of you. She was turning. I could see her little attitude. She was getting excited about what I was excited about. We were going to win together, me and this teacher. All of a sudden, his teacher comes by. She said, come with me. Now, I didn't know if we were going to the principal's office or the library. She took us to a computer. We took our two tests. We aced them. We came home. We're going to the AR party. We're cheering. We're clapping. We're winning. And I'm sure they're all talking about me in the teacher's lounge, and I do not care because my child needed something, and I'm his mama, and if I don't fight for him, who's going to? Jairus had a moment in time where it was his kid. See, it wasn't your kid, so you don't care. And the woman with the issue of blood didn't care because it wasn't her little girl that was dying. But Jairus needed God to do a miracle for his kid. Some of you need to quit feeling bad about believing God for what it is that your family needs. You need to let your faith rise up, and you need to fight for your family, for your kids, for your marriage, for your finances, for God to do something in you that only He can do if you will believe Him for it. You see, God has everything that you need. He's looking for a believer. Jairus goes into the house, and people are coming out saying, your daughter's already dead. Jesus says, she's not dead. She's just sleeping. And they begin to laugh at Jesus. If they haven't laughed at you yet, you haven't been asking God for big enough stuff. You see, if no one has laughed at you lately, you need to ask God to grow the desires of your heart, to give you miracle moments that are bigger than anything you can achieve on your own. Jairus was looking, waiting, and Jesus looked at them and said, I don't know what you're laughing at, but I do know that you're getting left outside the room. Yeah. The only people that got to go in were the Jesus people. I want to be a Jesus person. When there's a miracle needed, I want someone to say, Jesse, will you come into the room? Because we know that you believe. If I know that I know that God wants to do miracles, then I can engage in being the kind of person that can help someone else get theirs. He only let Jairus, his wife, and his three disciples come into the room. He brought the faith of God in, and he put the doubt out of the room. Seen people do this in their life and they win. Saw a woman whose husband had an incredible wreck and he sliced his entire throat. He was a singer, a musician, and an incredible one. They said, he won't live, he won't even ever sing again. And she put the doubt out. She stationed a man of God or a woman of God of faith and power at the door of his hospital room. She said, I don't care if it's his mama. If she's crying in fear and doubt, put her in the waiting room. Only people of faith get past this doorway. And do you know that her husband today is not just alive? He is still singing for the glory of God. Because she put the doubt out. We can be Jesus people. We can be the people of God that are invited into the room by Jesus. Say, come on in here. You're going to help this person get their miracle. Come on in here. You're the kind of people that get miracles for yourself and for others. I don't know about you, but I want to be a Jesus girl. I want to be the kind of person that dispenses the mercy, the grace, the miracles of God into people's lives. I want to be the kind of girl that when you tell me you're starting a business, I look back at you and I don't say, I don't know. There's some issues with that plan. I want to be the kind of girl that looks at you and says, Let's agree together that God will give you all the plan and that you're going forward in this life. I want to see your business thrive. I want to see God do something amazing in you. I want to be the kind of girl that whenever someone hears that they have a disease, that I look back at them and I say, I hear that report, but today we're going to hear the report of the Lord. And it says that you are healed and whole and healthy by the stripes of Jesus. Does it mean that we won't go anything if through anything if we're people of faith? Absolutely not. But we sure are not going to expect it, receive it, embrace it, and own it. We are going to reject it as not God's plan, and we are going to receive the will of God in our life. In fact, Jesus is going to hold our hand as we walk out every single one. By faith, we are going to engage in more than cheese and cracker living. Not because everybody receives it as so, but because the Word of God says that we can have life and have it more abundantly. You see, there are times in life when you just have to put the doubt out and pull the faith in. God's looking for a believer. He's scouring this crowd right now, just looking for faith. Some of you are saying, Jesse, I want to believe. I just don't think I have what it takes. Let me tell you something. If you've recognized that in yourself, then please, please, please do yourself a favor. Get a hold of the Word of God on that subject. Listen, I can be lazy in my faith. We can all be lazy in our faith, right? Because I'm believing for what's in front of me. I'm believing for a need. I'm believing for something I hear. But I tell you what, Brian, he inspires me to believe God for bigger. When he believes God, it's always something that we cannot attain on our own. And I look at him and I say, I'm exhausted. And he says, he's got this. Because he's built his faith in an area maybe that I don't have it. But then I begin to study the Word, and I begin to rely on the Word, and I begin to confess the Word, and I begin to put the Word of God in my heart in that area. And all of a sudden, shocker of all shockers, my faith begins to grow. And then I'm like, we can do this. We've got this. And he's like, yeah. You know, God didn't give you a spouse for nothing. If you're both believers, you should be the ones that look at the other one and says, hey, we've got this because he's got this. Let's build our faith. When your home is riddled with sickness and poverty, you should be the one standing saying, we don't have it yet, but we're getting it. By faith, we are getting it. We're going to grab a hold of the Word of God on this issue. I don't know what it is socially, relationally, in every area of your life, but God wants to build faith where we are deficient. It's not a sin to be deficient. It's when we don't allow God to build that thing in us and we resist the plan of God, that's where we fall into a bad place. When we recognize deficiency, God has given us the ability to pull faith in and to push doubt out. And when Jesus did that, he took that little girl by the hand. The whole environment was infused with faith. Mama was pulling for her. Daddy was pulling for her. All the disciples that were in the room were pulling for her. And he just lifts her by the hand, sets her on her feet, and said, would someone get this girl something to eat? I got news for you. Dead people don't eat. Dead people do not eat. Not looking for a big fanfare, a big show. We just said, get the girl something to eat because she was alive and she needed strength, and he did in the natural what needed to be done after the supernatural had already taken effect. God is looking for us to be believers. I'll tell you this last story and then I'll leave it at this. Brian and I we were pregnant with our first child, and we had gotten a bad report from the doctor. I won't go into all of it, but it was looking not so good for me or my little girl as far as the health and the strength that we were going to be able to walk in. Some things that just weren't right, and they had reported to me that this was not going to go well and that we were going to need some different things medically that I was a little bit, I didn't think it was all God's best for us, and it was just scary. And the first thing I wanted to do was call my mom and my sister and get comfort, because I wanted to be comforted because I was scared. And all of a sudden, faith rose up on the inside of me. And I thought, I don't need comfort right now. I need faith. I need someone to believe with me. And not that they wouldn't have, but there was just a tendency for me as a person to just fall into the comfort side of that. And so Brian and I got together. We decided just to keep it silent and to believe God. And then we went to a conference, and there was a pastor friend of ours, and we knew that he had an altar on his property out in the country. And that every day him and his wife would go out and they would put prayer requests on this altar, and they would believe God and they would pray at that altar. So when we ran into him, I said, Brian, I really believe that God would have us to tell him what we need from God, and that he and his wife are going to believe with us. They're going to be our faith partners in this. And he said, I think that's right. I think that's what we should do. So we told him, we gave them the paper of our prayer request, and he said, I'm going to put this on my altar, and we're going to believe with you every single day that everything goes smooth, that nothing they've reported is going to come to pass, and that you are going to be just fine. I said, we believe it together. You see, we put doubt out and didn't allow it into our story, and we brought faith in. A few days later, I was at a party with some people that I really didn't know. An acquaintance of mine had a bunch of their acquaintances over, and having this baby came up. You see, you never know what someone's believing God for. Don't put your voice where God's voice needs to be. She questioned me about this very part of my pregnancy, and I responded with, we are believing God for the best. She said, that's not going to happen. And it shocked me because they were all Christians. So I just kind of stepped back and walked away and said, thank you, appreciate that, and went away. And I put the doubt out, and I just went on in faith, and I just ignored what she said. Come a few months later, this baby comes. Everything went smooth. Nothing the doctor reported happened. We were able to do everything that God had planned for us, and it was a miracle that we were rejoicing in. It's awesome. That same day that I had her, out of the clear blue, the hospital phone rang. I picked it up, and this woman that I did not know was on the phone. The only reason I knew who she was because she told me whose friend she was. She said, I heard you had your baby. I said, I did. Who is this? She told me who she was, and she said, it didn't happen for you, did it? I thought, what kind of person calls to rejoice in someone having a terrible thing happen? And I was shocked, and I just said, I am happy to report to you that our God is faithful and he fulfills his promises. You have got to put the doubt out and keep the faith in at any cost. Even if you hurt people's feelings, because I hung up on her after that. And I just said, you know what? I don't need a friend that's full of doubt. I'm not looking to have a conversation with you. I am believing God, standing on his promises, and today we're going to rejoice and we're going to celebrate. I'm telling you what, God wants you to have celebration moments. Some of you have had way too many funerals and not enough births. God wants a miracle for your life, and he's looking for a believer. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes this morning. If you'd say, Jesse, you're talking to me. I needed this message. And I am believing for God's best in my life. Bigger dreams, bigger visions, bigger miracles. But the ones that I have today, I'm believing that my faith is growing. And God is going to bring me into the room because I am being developed as a believer. If you're excited about that and you need a miracle in your life right now, I want you to lift your hand to heaven. I want everyone to stand up on your feet. If you need a miracle, I want you to keep your hand lifted. I'm going to pray over you this morning. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I curse every bit of doubt and unbelief. Lord, I pray that faith would rise in their heart, that the word of God would come to them and effect a change. I curse every attack of the evil one. I say that it stopped against the people of God. Today, I say, God, that you have bread and more bread, that you said healing is the children's bread. And today, we say it is released into their life. Father, I pray today that the miracle that they're believing, standing, and Lord God, asking you for, that even if it's not in your time schedule right now, God, it's still on the way. You are not afraid of their situation. You are not startled by what miracle they need. God, you are there. You are their friend that sticks closer than a brother. You are holding their hand. I pray for encouragement in the name of Jesus. I pray for encouragement over you in the name of Jesus. Depression, I command it to go. And I say that faith rises in the name of Jesus. God, faith for whatever they need, you are more than enough. You are more than enough. You are more than enough. Give them courage. God, give them strength. Give them persistence. Give them faith. Give them heart today. I say that they are the head and never the tail, above only and never beneath. Their cupboards are filled with plenty. They have an abundance for every good work, and every single thing that they touch, it pushes forward. In Jesus' mighty, mighty name, we pray and we believe you for it. If you agree, say amen. Amen. You know what? Give God a big hand clap.